bless you. Exodus chapter number 2 tonight, Exodus chapter 2. While they were singing, I was just sitting there thinking about how I pray that they keep that heart about them. They keep going in the direction of Jesus Christ. The Lord has gifted them, there's no question about that. And He's gifted people to serve Him with it. He doesn't give people talents to use on their own agenda. He gifts people to use for the agenda of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I feel good tonight. I feel the Lord. I like it when I get up and I feel a sweet touch. And I want the Lord to speak through me tonight. I really do. I want you to ask God to speak to you through His Word. I'm giving you part two to a message that I began. I believe I began this on Sunday night. It all starts running together. I'm pretty positive it was Sunday night. But it's entitled, out of Exodus chapter 2, verse number 11, When Moses Was Grown. That's a direct statement from that verse. And this is part number two to that message, When Moses Was Grown. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness to us, Your mercy and Your grace. I do pray and thank You for how You gift people and talent people. And I pray that You'll help us all to use what talents You've given us to please You, to serve You, to honor You, to praise You, to spread the name of Jesus Christ. Bless tonight, I pray. Speak to us, I beg, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for this international student. Lord, You know her heart. You know the heart of all the other ones who may not have sent an email. I pray for Thomas as he spoke to them on Sunday night. I pray that You'll be penetrating their hearts and minds with the Word of God. And I pray that they'll be saved and take the gospel back home to their country. Bless them now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this is repeat as I go over the introduction. As we continue in our study of the book of Exodus, this is our Old Testament book, we've already seen how the Israelites were living in a very difficult and perilous time. Pharaoh was looking at the Israelites with an evil eye and was doing all he could to destroy them. He had issued a decree for all Jewish male children, all baby boys, to be cast into the river and drowned. But there was one little baby boy's parents who refused to kill their baby. His mother put him into an ark and placed him in the flags by the river's brink. Pharaoh's own daughter saw this ark and told her maid to go and fetch it. When she opened the ark, the baby boy cried, and Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on him. The baby boy's sister went and ran to Pharaoh's daughter, if you will, and asked her if she wanted her to get a Hebrew nurse to nurse this baby boy for her. And the baby boy's own mother was gotten, and her faith was rewarded that day because she believed in her God. And this baby boy began to grow until he was big enough to go to the palace to be with Pharaoh's daughter. This baby boy's name was Moses. And the Bible says he was reared in the house of Pharaoh. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 7, verses 21 and 22 says, And when he was cast out, talking about Moses, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. While we've already considered Moses as a little child, specifically his parents and the faith of his parents, we see in our text now that Moses is now a grown man. The Bible says when he was grown. Acts chapter 7 verse 23 gives us more detail about the age of Moses here in this literal text. Acts 7 23 tells us that he was 40 years old at this time. So when I'm reading this, I've already started this sermon, but as we read these verses, keep in mind, he's no longer a baby. He's a 40-year-old man. Now, as a grown man, when Moses was grown, we see three things in this text. This is verses 11 through 22 of Exodus chapter 2 that I'm preaching on. And in those verses, we see three major thoughts, just principles, if you will, concerning Moses when he was grown. Now, we looked at number one. Let me go back and tap it on the head. Then, God willing, we'll get to two and three tonight. Number one, when he was grown, he tried to do God's will his own way. Now, I'm not going to take time to go back over that, but I strongly encourage you, if you were not here, go back and get that message. Because, friends, listen to me, you can do the right thing the wrong way, and it's not going to be as effective as it can be for the glory of God. God's work must be done God's way. God has never made his work and will to be done in the energy of the flesh. It's never been that way, never has, and it's not now and never will be. It must be done in God's way. Go back and get it if you weren't here. Number two tonight, this is where we pick up our sermon. When Moses was grown, secondly, get this now, these are just principles. Get this, secondly, he helped others after being rejected. Let me say it again. He helped others after being rejected. Let me explain this to you. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. Back up just a moment. If you remember the story, Moses is realizing that he has been found out. He realizes because of the Jewish man who said, what are you going to do to me? You're going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? Moses realized that his secret was out, and he got afraid of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was seeking him. He was headhunting him, so to speak. He wanted to take him out. He got afraid and ran to a place called Midian. He's sitting by a well in Midian in verse 15. Verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. What a bunch of lowlifes. Now, what's happening right here is these seven ladies come and they are drawing water out of the well, enough water to water the flocks. These lowlife shepherds are sitting back watching all these ladies sweat and everything else, and as soon as they got the trough filled up to water their flocks, they run them away so they wouldn't have to draw the water themselves. What a bunch of lazy bums these shepherds are. Amen, friends. I'm telling you, they're lazy. What a bunch of lowlifes. Notice what happens here. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule, their father, he said, how is it that you're come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered our flock. And you say, Jody, what's the point? I'm just showing you how God spoke to me, okay? In other words, you might read this. He may speak to you in a different way, but here's how he spoke to me. As we consider these verses, we're reminded of what has just taken place. Moses went out to see his brethren. I'm backing up to verses 11 and following. He went out to see his brethren when he saw an Egyptian smiting one of the Hebrews. He looked this way and he looked that way. Then he took the Egyptian man, he killed him, and he buried him in the sand. The next day Moses saw two Hebrew men, not an Egyptian and Hebrew, but now two brothers, if you will, striving together from the same family. I'm not talking about a brother like you think. I'm talking about just two Jews from the same nation. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your brother? Now get this. In these actions that he's taking, even though I've preached against him, because he got ahead of God. He was doing it his own way. He was trying to do God's will his own way. Let me say this to you. Even though Moses got ahead of God's timing, I personally believe his heart was in the right place. In other words, he got ahead of God, but it was a good thing that he didn't want the Israelites to hurt. It was a good thing that he was trying to settle a dispute among two brothers. I believe his heart was in the right place. He went about it the wrong way, but he was trying to do something right. Get this. He was identifying with his own people. He was trying to help them at this time. However, get this. Instead of these people being appreciative and grateful to Moses for what he was trying to do, they rejected him. And they didn't want anything to do with him. The one man said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? In today's vernacular, that would be like saying, who died and made you boss? In other words, who do you think you are, Moses? You're not our leader. Get out of my face. Now, get this. Once Moses realized his killing the Egyptian was found out, because this same man who was in the wrong said, what are you going to do? You're going to kill me like you killed him yesterday. It made Moses afraid. He left, and he's running from Pharaoh to a place called Midian.
Now, Moses, now get this. Moses thought he was doing good, but he was flat rejected. He was flat turned down. Are you listening to me? No doubt this was a disappointment in his life. Because the book of Acts, I preached on this earlier, I'm talking about on Sunday night, you can go back and get the reference, but in the book of Acts, the Bible says the reason that he went out and he saw his people and he tried to take matters into his own hands, the Bible says the reason he did that is he supposed that the nation knew that he was their deliverer. In other words, he went out that day fully expecting to be put into charge over the Israelites. But he goes, and the next thing he knows, he's running for his life. He has suffered a major disappointment. His plans have turned upside down on his head. His bubble got burst, if you will. Those he tried to help wanted nothing to do with him. Nothing. Now get this. We see him sitting down by a well. He's defeated. He's discouraged. He's disappointed. He has no idea what's up, what's down. God, what in the world's going on? Are you with me? Do you see him sitting there at the well? His plans have fallen flat on their face. He's sitting there at the well when seven ladies come to water their flock. He's watching all of this. He's an Egyptian, they think, sitting there. He's watching these ladies draw all this water, and then he sees when they finally have enough to water their flock that these low-life shepherds come out of nowhere and drive them away in order that they can steal their water that they've just drawn out. Now get this. Moses watches this happen. Here's the point. What will he do? Will he let his recent rejection keep him from standing up to help these women? Let me ask you a question. Would you blame him if he didn't step in? Would you, yes or no? I wouldn't blame him. Because the last time he took matters in his own hands, good night, it reached up and bit him. Here he is. What's he going to do? After all, the last time he tried to help somebody, it backfired on him. And I ask you a question. Will he let his recent rejection, his recent disappointment, his recent just the rug being pulled out from under his feet, will he let that keep him from helping anybody else? And the answer comes back, no, no, no. The Bible says Moses stood up. You know what we need? What a text for some men right there. We need some men to stand up when something's going wrong. Moses, the Bible says, stood up and helped them and watered their flock. May I remind you, the Bible says there were shepherds, plural. There's only one Moses. And Moses stands up, and the next thing I know, they're running for the hills, and he's watering the ladies' flocks himself. What am I saying? I'm saying maybe he had God on him at that time. I don't know, but he took these shepherds down. Now, here's what I'm trying to get across. As one person put it, after his attempted reformation failed in Egypt, and after receiving such a despicable rebuff from his own brethren there, we would not have blamed Moses had he not intervened here to give help to the seven shepherdesses in watering their father's flock. In other words, one person created an imagined bit of thinking what Moses would have been doing that we can all easily identify with at times. If he had not been the gallant man that he was, maybe he could have been sitting there doing this. Never so long as I live will I interfere in another quarrel. I have had experience of two interpositions, and my heart is sad. When men are fighting again, I shall let them finish as they please. Not one word will I say either on the one side or the other. From this day forth, I shut my eyes in the presence of wrong. I hold my peace when one side or the other. From this day forth, I will not do anything to step in. You listening to me? Even if righteousness is going to the wall, couldn't you imagine Moses sitting there contemplating what has just happened? He knew what he saw was wrong. He went about it the wrong way, but he's still confused. He's still not learned the lesson yet. God has him in school here, and he's disappointed. He's discouraged. He has no idea what's taking place, and these things may be going through his mind. Listen, I can't prove it. You can't disprove it. He could be sitting there just saying, I'll never do that again. I'll never step up again. Listen, if anybody else wants to fight, let them help themselves. I'll never do it. That's what he could have been thinking. But I'm telling you what he did. The Bible says he didn't act this way. The Bible says when this man Moses saw another injustice being done, he stepped up again and helped these people. You know, one person put it this way. Moses had just choked down the biggest wedge of humble pie you can imagine. Isn't it interesting, though, that in this incident, Moses was allowed to be a deliverer on an immensely smaller scale? What did he want to be with the nation of Israel? The deliverer. God, when he got ahead of God, he had to run for his life. But the next thing you see, God puts in front of him and says, okay, you want to be a deliverer? Before I can trust you with a nation, let me see if I can trust you with seven ladies. Now I'm going to tell you, friends, God knows what he's doing. Now stay with me here. He had grand dreams and mighty schemes. But this time God said, you want a job as a deliverer? Then stand up and do it, son. Start here. There are seven women here in Midian who need a champion at this moment. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now get this. If he was too big to help seven ladies, he was too big to help the nation Israel. Now the Holy Spirit's going to have to help you see what I'm trying to get across. Moses was afraid, alone, and abandoned, so he thought, because of what he did in Egypt. He had been rejected, and there have been no question, there's no doubt in my mind that that put question marks all through his mind. What in the world is going on here? What in the world is taking place? However, we see a great lesson that we can learn from him when he was grown. And that is this. Keep doing right, even after great disappointment. Don't let a rejection, don't let a failure. Are you listening to me? He was rejected by his people. He failed God. He got ahead of God. He was a failure just a day or two ago. But we see he did not let that failure keep him from doing something else that he knew was right. I'm telling you, what a lesson to learn. Here's what I'm saying. Some people will stop altogether when they make a mistake, or when they suffer rejection, or when plans don't turn out the way they want it, or when they're suffering from disappointment and they have question marks in their mind. Listen to me. When somebody... I'm trying to help somebody here. It may be you. It may be me. We need to understand something. Everybody suffers rejection. Everybody suffers disappointment. There's going to be something in this life that you know is good and right, and you're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to get ahead of God in something. Something's going to happen that you know God's in it, but good night, you made a mistake, you made a wrong decision, you made a wrong turn, and God says, what in the world are you doing, son or daughter? And yes, there's consequences to that, but the devil starts saying, see, I told you you're no good. You can't. You might as well just leave that to somebody else. No, here's what I'm saying. Here's what we learned from Moses. Keep doing right when it's right to do it, even when you're suffering from rejection, disappointment, and failure. Now, I'm telling you, if we don't learn this, we got a long Christian life ahead of us. The point is, we are not to allow a setback or a rejection or a failure keep us from doing
what God wants us to do. The devil likes to take discouragement, and he likes to discourage us as much as he can in the service for the Lord. But let us never quit because of being rejected in the past. We are obliged to duty regardless of how others respond to us. It makes no difference how they respond. God will take care of that. Now, if we cause it because we're ahead of them, so on, God will deal with us. He's in the midst of dealing with Moses. But the major thought God showed me here is how Moses did not sit back and pout. Now, he could have. He could have sat back and said, I'm just a big nobody. I'm telling you what, I just messed up the biggest thing in all my life. I'll never do anything for God. I'll never lift my hand again. I'm defeated. It hurts too bad. I mean, my heart's broken. It's not worth it. I mean, just let people do what they want to do. No, listen to me. He's learning something here. He's learning that a past failure does not mean that you have to sulk in it and you don't have to stay in it. You can go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen, friends. So help me out a little bit tonight. I'll fall asleep on you if you don't help me out. What am I saying? I'm saying everybody suffers from failure. Everybody suffers from rejection. Everybody's going to have something fall on their face. Everybody's going to fall on their face every now and then. Don't let the devil cause you stop during that time. Look for somebody else to serve and keep doing right for the glory of God. That's what we learned when he was grown. That's number two. Number three, well, this is another major lesson. Oh, this is a major lesson. When he was grown, he tried to do God's will his own way and fell flat on his face. Number two, when he was grown, what he did, he helped others after he had been rejected personally. Number three, here it is, he was content to dwell in Midian at this time. You say, what's this mean? Look at verse number 20. And he said unto his daughters, this is Reuel, this is the daddy. And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Now notice this. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. Now, when his daughters, this man's daughters, came back earlier than normal on this particular day, Reuel asked his daughters how they had come so soon that day. In other words, how are you coming so soon today? They said that there's an Egyptian. That means he was still in his Egyptian garb. He had to be. You see what I'm saying? He looked like an Egyptian. It's Moses. Had helped them and drove away the shepherds and watered their flock. The man said, why didn't you bring him with you? Go get him. We'll feed him a meal. And the Bible says Moses was content to dwell with him. I'd say he spent 40 years there. The next 40 years, he's going to be in Midian, dwelling in this land. And you say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. Stay with me now. The point I'm trying to make is how this is the place God had him. Where was God's ultimate place for Moses to go to? I'm talking about to deliver his people to Egypt. He was there, but he got ahead of God, so God had to get him out of town. And the Lord plants him in Midian. Now get this. It's been said that the flight of Moses from Egypt introduced him into a new training school. Boy, I like this. At Pharaoh's court, he had learned much that was required to fit him for his vocation. As the deliverer and leader of Egypt, as the mediator of the ancient covenant and founder of the theocracy, and also as a prophet and lawgiver. But his education there had been a very partial character. He had learned to rule in Egypt, but not to serve. And see, the latter was as necessary, if not more so, than the former. See, he possessed the fiery zeal of youth. See him when he's 40, taking matters into his own hands. I'm not going to stand for that. I'll kill this guy. And he did. A lot of zeal, but he's ahead of God. But he had no circumspection. He had no patience or firmness of age. Get this. Moses knew he was to be the deliverer for the Israelites. But now he is to be content to be a servant in a strange land. He wanted to lead Israel,
But he must learn to be content to sit still first. Now stay with me now. This is the place God put him in order to teach him some major lessons. At age 40, Moses was independent and headstrong. Can I get an amen right there? He was independent. I'll do it my way. He was headstrong. I'll force my way in. At age 80, he will be dependent, and the Bible calls him the meekest man on earth. Whew. It would take 40 years here in this place to drain him of self-will and reliance and make him a fit vessel. He had acted in his own strength and was too strong for God to use at this time. It's been said the first 40 years he was learning he was somebody. The second 40 years, which is this 40 years, he was learning he was nobody. And the last 40 years he was learning what God can do with a nobody. It is here in this land of Midian he would learn to trust God. It is here that he would learn, as one person said, God does not love us because we are valuable, but we are valuable because God loves us. It's here that he will learn, as Miss Lashley said, and I quote, whatever our worth may be, whatever capacities we may have, whatever may be accomplished through them, as we recognize that everything of worth finds its ultimate source in God and depends on him for life, the appropriate response is not self-esteem, but adoration of the God who is the source of all. It's so interesting to me that in the early part of this chapter, this text, verses 11 and following, that he's so headstrong, he's so independent, he's trying to take matters in his own hands. He's speaking, and he's speaking very boldly. Yet when he falls flat on his face, he got ahead of God. God puts him on the backside of the desert. He keeps doing right, but then he's content to dwell there. And God teaches him there, takes him to school so much that the next time God says, I want you to go deliver Egypt, he says, I can't do that, God. I'm a man of slow speech. We'll look at that later. And I think the title of the message may be Away with Excuses or something like that. But the fact of the matter is this. Do you see the difference between the 40-year-old man and the 80-year-old man? He's believing himself. Here he says, I can't do that. I don't have it in me. I don't understand what you mean. You want somebody like me to go? What made the difference? What brought him to the end of himself? The 40 years on the backside of the desert. God takes this man to school. It's almost as if God says, okay, boy, you think you're a big somebody. Yes, I've told you you're going to deliver Israel, and you think you're a big somebody. You want just to march out there and just show me how much I can trust you. You fell on your face. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Pull you up a chair, son. I'm going to take the next 40 years of your life, and I'm going to drain you of every self-esteem stitch that you have in your body. I'm going to help you see that without me, ye can do nothing. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. It's a good thing that the Bible says Moses was content to stay with the man. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Is he scared to death? Yes. Is he maybe running from God? I don't know, maybe. But I know this, Midian was God appointed in his life at that time. And he was not fighting to get back to Egypt. He was resting content. The point is, Moses needed to learn to rest in God's place. And Moses needed to learn to rest in God's timing. Before Moses was ready for the big stage, he had to be content with the backstage. Let me say it again. Before Moses was ready for the big stage, he had to be content being backstage. One person put it this way, maybe you'd hoped to be a missionary and bring the word of Christ to distant portions of the globe. But for one reason or another, that door is never opened. Are you willing to start an evangelistic Bible study in your neighborhood? Are you open to working with Hispanic or Vietnamese people in your own city? Are you willing to befriend a few lonely international students? You know what people want? Center stage. The big lights. Everybody to know their name. You know what God is teaching me? And I hope I'm learning it. It doesn't matter if they know your name. It only matters if they know His. That's all that matters. You know, another person put it this way, or the same person said this as well. Moses was willing to be obscure, to dwell apart from the limelight, to accept his new status. God will use failure in your life to break down that strong desire in your heart to see your name in lights. He will. He'll use failure to do that. And when He finally breaks you of that lust for recognition, He may place you before the lights you've never imagined. But then it won't matter. You won't care if you're prime time or small time, center stage or backstage, leading the charge or packing the baggage. Boy, I like that. Let me ask you a question. Are you only willing to do something for God if you get recognized? Tell you one thing, I'll never serve in that church because, hey, they'll talk about the bus ministry. They'll talk about the cancer ministry. I've never one time heard them mention our ministry. I'll never serve there. You know what you need if that's your attitude? I trust it's not. And if that was my attitude, you know what I would need? I need to fall flat on my face and be found by a well in the land of Midian. And I need to sit there for a while until God says, okay, are you over that little fit you just had? Now, that's not happened here, okay? Praise God for that. At least I don't know if that's happened here, okay? So thank the Lord for that. But I know how the devil works, friends. You know what your flesh wants? Praise. Look what he does. Look what she does. Look at that. Look at this. All of that. You know what Moses is learning? He was a man of high position in the land of Egypt. A lot of scholars and a lot of Bible commentators believe that he was next in line to be Pharaoh. That's not a guarantee fact, but they believe that he possibly could have been the next Pharaoh, and he rejected all of that. Read Hebrews chapter 11 and chose to suffer reproach for Christ's name instead. But before he could ever be ready to march into Pharaoh's existence and have Holy Ghost boldness and tell him, let my people go. Before he ever got to that point, he had to be willing to help seven ladies water their flock and drive the shepherds away and help the little animals to get a little bit of sustenance for that day. God can never trust you in the throne room of Pharaoh unless he can trust you by the water troughs. You getting this? We all want to be recognized. And God many times has to put us by a well in Midian to teach us the lesson, son, daughter, really, it's not about you. It's not. It's about me. And then as we approach the next text, Moses says at the end of 40 years, he's keeping Jethro's flock. He's keeping them. And the Bible says he turned and he saw something. It was a bush that was burning, but it was not consumed. God came down to visit him. And God said, take your shoes off, son. For the place you stand on is holy ground. Takes his shoes off and God says, I want you to go back to Egypt. You're ready. I've taught you the lesson. see Moses down, and he says, "Who am I? Who am I?" He got it. He learned it. And he said, "Who am I going to tell them, God, that sent me?" And he said, "You tell them, I am that I am." That was God's way of saying, "I am, you fill in the blank. Whatever you need, I am." He learned it by being content in the land of Midian. You know where some of you are tonight? You're sitting by a well. You might not even understand. Could it be that God has told you, spiritually speaking, pull up a chair? I want to take you to school. And at the end of it, it could be 4 days, it could be 4 years, it could be 40 years. I don't know when. But eventually you're just going to be about your business that you're supposed to be doing that day. That's what Moses was doing. Something's going to be glittering over here to the side. And you're going to look. And God has come down to meet with you. Because he says, "Now, you are ready." See, Moses knew when he went back to Egypt, if Israel ever gets deliverance this time, it'll not be by my hands. It'll be by the hands of God. Do you understand what I'm preaching, friends? You get this. So I ask you, have you had a great rejection? Have you had a great failure? Have you fallen on your face? You come in here disappointed, thinking God may be through with you. You know what my advice is to you? Start looking for 7 ladies who need to water their flocks. That's a spiritual terminology, by the way. Men, don't start looking for 7 ladies, you understand? Do you realize that God has an Israel for every one of us? God has a center stage for every one of us. I'm not talking about where people see your name. I'm just talking about his ultimate will for your life. But you can't get on stage in God's platform unless you go backstage first. Are you willing to be a nobody? Are you? You know what God taught me? I'm taking a little time here. I thought I was going to get done early, but I don't want you to get in the habit of it, so I'm not going to do that. You know what God taught me? I'll be honest with you. In my own heart and life, every now and then, I thought I was something. My athletics, my name in the paper, people talking about me, knowing this and seeing that and saying that and saying this. God took the rug out from under me. There's too many times I think too highly of myself now, don't get me wrong. But I know one thing. God has brought me to the point that I throw my hands up when I pastor this church and I've told God, "God, I don't know what I'm doing. You're going to have to do this for me. Please take the helm. Just take me along for the ride. Don't let me get in the way." I'm going to tell you one reason he does that. Is because I know every good thing that happens at this church. I didn't do that, friends. God did. It's not me. It's not you. Now, we can help that or hinder that. You understand what I'm saying? We can help him bless or we can hinder him from blessing. But all we need to realize is this: God, get us out of the way. Let our hearts be right. And if you have us in Midian sitting by the well, help us to be content. And help us to keep looking for the 7 ladies who need our help now. See, even in Midian, there was a work for him to do. You get it? God didn't put him on the backside of the desert and didn't give him anything to do.
There is a will for him to do there. God wanted him to lead his flock out of Israel. But he first must be willing to lead another man's literal flock in the wilderness first. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Let's be content to be where God has us. And the crowd this size, I know I'm going on and on, forgive me. When the crowd this size, there's no doubt somebody's walked in here and you failed. You've made some mistakes. You've fallen on your face. Let that phrase stand up in your mind, and Moses stood up and helped them. He did not stay seated. Though none of us would have complained if he did. But he knew the right thing was to get up and do something for God. Don't let disappointment stop you. Keep going for the glory of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. I pray you'll take this and help us to understand. Help us to understand that, Lord, you do have us sitting in Midian every now and then. And every one of us fail, every one of us fall, every one of us make mistakes. Don't let the devil keep us on the sideline. Help us to get up and get busy and stand and help others in time of need. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they'll begin to play through softly. Let me just work right straight down through this. Number one, are you 100% sure of heaven? Do you know Jesus? Have you trusted Christ? Tonight I want to ask a couple of pinpointed questions. Some of you say, Jody, when I'm sitting in here tonight, I'll be honest, there's a disappointment in my life. It may be a failure that you've made, or it might just be that somebody disappointed you, or it might be that you're just suffering rejection. It may be your fault or somebody else's fault. That's not the purpose tonight of whose fault it is. But if you're sitting here tonight and say, Jody, you're talking about rejection and talking about disappointment and talking about the rug pulled out from underneath me and falling flat on my face and all of this, being unappreciated, whatever, you say, Jody, that's me tonight. I'm sitting there like that. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. That's several of you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm here tonight to say, Jody, I'll be honest with you. I know that God has something for my life. But personally, I feel right now that he has me sitting by the well in Midian. And this message tonight is helping me understand the reason why. Maybe you came here tonight and said, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand this waiting time. I don't understand this time where it just seems like nothing's happening. I don't get it. I don't understand this. And could it be that the Lord is using this message to say, just be content. Be content. Be content. Have you say, Jody, I believe I may be in Midian. I might be on the backside of the desert. And God's speaking to me that I just need to rest content there. Not buck up against it, not try to get ahead of God, but tell him and ask him to help me learn every lesson he's trying to teach me. Have you feel that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. God bless you. That's several names. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, would you take it and use it in a great way? Speak to us, minister to us. Help we who are in Midian to be content to stay there. Help those who have had a failure, disappointment, something like that, Lord, to keep doing right, keep doing right, keep doing right. Even when they feel like they can't do it, just keep doing right, keep doing right. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God has spoken to you, that's a privilege. That's an honor. As soon as he says the first word, I want you to leave your place and come. Get on your face. Ask God to help you. Would you do it?
I can hear my Savior
call to God about it. Say, God, I'm in Midian. Don't know what to do. And he says, be still. Know that I'm God. Just rest.
I can hear rest. My Savior calling.
Rest.
Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads. Yeah. and